This is the reading for July 6th. Job chapter 37. At the sound of his thunder, my heart pounds, as if it will jump out of my chest. Listen, listen to the thunder of God's voice, and to the rumbling that comes from his mouth. He turns his lightning loose under the whole sky and sends it to the farthest parts of the earth. After that, you can hear the roar when he thunders with a great sound. He does not hold back the flashing when his voice is heard. God's voice thunders in wonderful ways. He does great things we cannot understand. He says to the snow, "Fall on the earth," and to the shower, "Be a heavy rain." With it, he stops everyone from working, so everyone knows it is the work of God. The animals take cover from the rain and stay in their dens. The storm comes from where it was stored. The cold comes with the strong winds. The breath of God makes ice, and the wide waters become frozen. He fills the clouds with water and scatters his lightning through them. At his command, they swirl around over the whole earth, doing whatever he commands. He uses the clouds to punish people or to water his earth and show his love. Job, listen to this. Stop and notice God's miracles. Do you know how God controls the clouds and makes his lightning flash? Do you know how the clouds hang in the sky? Do you know the miracles of God who knows everything? You suffer in your clothes when the land is silenced by the hot south wind. You cannot stretch out the sky like God and make it look as hard as polished bronze. Tell us what we should say to him. We cannot get our arguments ready because we do not have enough understanding. Should God be told that I want to speak? Would a person ask to be swallowed up? No one can look at the sun when it is bright in the sky after the wind has blown all the clouds away. God comes out of the north in golden light and overwhelming greatness. The Almighty is too high for us to reach. He has great strength. He is always right and never punishes unfairly. That is why people honor him. He does not respect those who say they are wise. 2 Chronicles chapter 1. Solomon, David's son, became a powerful king because the Lord his God was with him and made him very great. Solomon spoke to all the people of Israel, the commanders of 100 men and of 1,000 men, the judges, every leader in all Israel, and the leaders of the families. Then Solomon and all the people with him went to the place of worship at the town of Gibeon. God's meeting tent, which Moses the Lord's servant had made in the desert, was there. David had brought the Ark of God from Kiriath-Jearim to Jerusalem, where he had made a place for it and had set up a tent for it. The bronze altar that Bezalel, son of Uri, who was the son of Hur, had made was in Gibeon in front of the holy tent. So Solomon and the people worshipped there. Solomon went up to the bronze altar in the presence of the Lord at the meeting tent and offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. That night God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have been very kind to my father David, and you have made me king in his place. Now, Lord God, may your promise to my father David come true. You have made me king of a people who are as many as the dust of the earth. Now give me wisdom and knowledge so I can lead these people in the right way, because no one can rule them without your help." God said to Solomon, "You have not asked for wealth or riches or honor, or for the death of your enemies or for a long life, but since you have asked for wisdom and knowledge to lead my people, over whom I have made you king, I will give you wisdom and knowledge. I will also give you more wealth, riches, and honor than any king who has lived before you or any who will live after you." Then Solomon left the place of worship, the meeting tent, at Gibeon and went back to Jerusalem. There King Solomon ruled over Israel. Solomon had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horses. He kept some in special cities for the chariots, and others he kept with him in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, Solomon made silver and gold as plentiful as stones and cedar trees as plentiful as the fig trees on the western hills. He imported horses from Egypt in Kew. His traders brought them in Kew. They imported chariots from Egypt for about 15 pounds of silver apiece, and horses cost nearly 4 pounds of silver apiece. Then they sold the horses and chariots to all the kings of the Hittites and the Arameans. 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Solomon decided to build a temple as a place to worship the Lord and also a palace for himself. He chose 70,000 men to carry loads, 80,000 men to cut stone in the hill country, and 3,600 men to direct the workers. Solomon sent this message to Hiram, king of the city of Tyre: "Help me as you helped my father David by sending him cedar logs so he could build himself a palace to live in. I will build a temple for worshiping the Lord my God, and I will give this temple to him. There we will burn sweet-smelling spices in his presence. We will continually set out the holy bread in God's presence, and we will burn sacrifices every morning and evening on Sabbath days and new moons, and on the other feast days commanded by the Lord our God. This is a rule for Israel to obey forever. The temple I build will be great, because our God is greater than all gods. But no one can really build a house for our God. Not even the highest of heavens can hold him. How then can I build a temple for him, except as a place to burn sacrifices to him? Now send me a man skilled in working with gold, silver, bronze, and iron, and with purple, red, and blue thread. He must also know how to make engravings. He will work with my skilled craftsmen in Judah and Jerusalem, whom my father David chose. Also, send me cedar, pine, and juniper logs from Lebanon. I know your servants are experienced at cutting down the trees in Lebanon, and my servants will help them. Send me a lot of wood, because the temple I'm going to build will be large and wonderful. I will give your servants who cut the wood 125,000 bushels of wheat, 125,000 bushels of barley, 115,000 gallons of wine, and 115,000 gallons of oil." Then Hiram, king of Tyre, answered Solomon with this letter: "Solomon, because the Lord loves his people, he chose you to be their king." Hiram also said, "Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, who made heaven and earth. He has given King David a wise son, one with wisdom and understanding, who will build a temple for the Lord and a palace for himself. I will send you a skilled and wise man named Huram-Abi. His mother was from the people of Dan, and his father was from Tyre. Huram-Abi is skilled in working with gold, silver, bronze, iron, stone, and wood, and with purple, blue, and red thread, and expensive linen. He is skilled in making engravings and can make any design you show him. He will help your craftsmen and the craftsmen of your father David. Now send my servants the wheat, barley, oil, and wine you promised. We will cut as much wood from Lebanon as you need and will bring it on rafts by sea to Joppa. Then you may carry it to Jerusalem." Solomon counted all the foreigners living in Israel. This was after the time his father David had counted the people. There were 153,600 foreigners in the country. Solomon chose 70,000 of them to carry loads, 80,000 of them to cut stone in the mountains, and 3,600 of them to direct the workers and to keep the people working.
Chapter 14.
The same thing happened in the city of Iconium. Paul and Barnabas went into the synagogue and spoke in such a way that a large crowd of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up some people who were not Jewish and poisoned their minds against the believers. Paul and Barnabas stayed in the city of Iconium for a long time. They spoke boldly about the Lord, who confirmed their message about his goodwill by having them perform miracles and do amazing things. But the people of Iconium were divided. Some were for the Jews, while others were for the apostles. In the meantime, Paul and Barnabas found out that the non-Jewish people and the Jewish people with their rulers planned to attack them and stone them to death. So they escaped to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding territory. They spread the good news there. A man who was born lame was in Lystra. He was always sitting because he had never been able to walk. He listened to what Paul was saying. Paul observed him closely and saw that the man believed he could be made well. So Paul said in a loud voice, "Stand up." The man jumped up and began to walk. The crowds who saw what Paul had done shouted in the Lycaonian language, "The gods have come to us and they look human." They addressed Barnabas as Zeus and Paul as Hermes because Paul did most of the talking. Zeus's temple was at the entrance to the city. The priests of the god Zeus brought bulls with flowery wreaths around their necks to the temple gates. The priest and the crowd wanted to offer a sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. When the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard what was happening, they were very upset. They rushed into the crowd and said, "Men, what are you doing? We're human beings like you. We're spreading the good news to you to turn you away from these worthless gods to the living God. The living God made the sky, the land, the sea, and everything in them. In the past, God allowed all people to live as they pleased. Yet, by doing good, he has given evidence of his existence. He gives you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He fills you with food and your lives with happiness." Although Paul and Barnabas said these things, they hardly kept the crowd from sacrificing to them. However, Jews from the cities of Antioch and Iconium arrived in Lystra and won the people over. They tried to stone Paul to death and dragged him out of the city when they thought that he was dead. But when the disciples gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. The next day, Paul and Barnabas left for the city of Derbe. They spread the good news in that city and won many disciples. Then they went back to the cities of Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, which is in Pisidia. They strengthened the disciples in these cities and encouraged the disciples to remain faithful. Paul and Barnabas told them, "We must suffer a lot to enter the kingdom of God." They had the disciples in each church choose spiritual leaders, and with prayer and fasting, they entrusted the leaders to the Lord in whom they believed. After they had gone through Pisidia, they went to Pamphylia. They spoke the message in the city of Perga and went to the city of Attalia. From Attalia, they took a boat and headed home to the city of Antioch in Syria. In Antioch, they had been entrusted to God's care for the work they had now finished. When they arrived, they called the members of the church together. They reported everything God had done through them, especially that he had given people who were not Jewish the opportunity to believe. They stayed for a long time with these disciples.